Before I start with today's message, I'm going to give an opportunity to somebody that the Lord has really blessed to share their testimony. Letza, would you mind coming forward for me, please? She's very shy, so please just give her a big hand.
I'm very nervous.
You're nervous? What are you nervous about? Okay, I would like you to come and stand on this side for me, please, if you don't mind. All right, just speaking to that, let's see whether it's working. There we go. All right, let's just to remember, if you don't speak into the microphone, we can't record it. So please keep it close to your mouth and make sure that you are, if you can hear yourself through the speakers, then we can record you. All right, thank you so much. I would like to introduce you to shall I call you a young lady? Yes, obviously. Have you seen the size of her husband? I have to call her a young lady. If I don't, I'm in trouble. I would like to introduce you to somebody that has really had a amazing life, if I can put it that way, a difficult life, but in whose life God has done some really amazing things. Now, Letza, I heard your testimony, and I must be honest, I was quite blown away by the way that you grew up and some of the things that happened. And whatever you're comfortable at sharing, I would like you to just, I'm going to give you some time, if you can just share with them where you come from, your upbringing, etc., etc., and then we'll get to what the Lord has done at a later stage.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. All right.
It's fine.
When I was approximately 1 year old, my dad had a very bad accident. He was declared dead, put in a fridge, and my mother, single mother in South Africa, 4 kids, not speaking the language, no job, had to take a very bad decision and try and give some of us away. I was one of them. I was given to my godparents. A couple of days later, my dad knocked on the fridge and miraculously just stood up and walked out of that morgue.
All right, so her dad was declared dead. He was put in the morgue's fridge. He was left there for 7 days. 7 days later, they heard a knocking sound, and when they opened the fridge, this man was alive. How many of you believe God had a plan there somewhere? Yes. Amen. God is good. All right, let's continue.
But because my dad was still very weak, we still stayed with my godparents, and my sister stayed with my gran. So she only kept the 2 boys because they were a lot older than us and more manageable and everything. About when I was about six and a half, then we decided to all leave South Africa and go back to Greece. I had to leave a year earlier so I can be enrolled in school. So they signed me over to my godparents for her to be able to do everything that she needed to do. My dad never came up, neither did my sister or my brothers or anybody. They got a good business opportunity and they stayed behind.
In other words, they stayed in South Africa.
Yes. And when my father tried to get me back, my godparents refused because they had signed that piece of paper, belonged to them. Years went by and nobody told you anything and you don't know why your parents don't want you and they don't love you and they don't care and all that. So eventually, years went by, I was given away to a gentleman because we had this arranged marriage that was about 12 years older than me and I was supposed to get married when I finished school.
All right, now, how old were you when this arranged marriage was supposed to take place or when it actually took place?
12.
All right, 12 years old, getting married, all right?
I was supposed to get married when I was about 17 or so.
Okay.
He stayed with us. Nothing ever happened because I was brought up that way and you don't do anything until you're actually married. Mm. Obviously, he was older. He couldn't handle just living with a kid. So he left about 3 years later. After that, I met my ex-fiance, which was a taxi driver. He was one of those guys that was very, very jealous. You couldn't even look at anybody and you would declare that you're cheating or you want to do something. So every practically second day I used to get blixtmed and been in hospital sometime or another.
She's very saved. We're just praying for her tongue at the moment. We're going to get there. Don't stress about it.
So I stayed with him for about 5 years because I thought that's love. That means to be loved and cared and, you know, so I spoke to my godmother and I said I loved him and all that stuff. And she told me that there is things that you can do to make sure that he does love you and he does stick with you. So I did try them. I was a kid, 15, 16.
All right, I just want to stop the bus here because I think we need to give them some information about your aunt.
Godmother.
Your godmother, yes. Your godmother was involved in some pretty scary stuff.
Yes.
She was a practitioner of the dark arts. In other words, she messed around with voodoo and black magic and the occult and spiritism and all that type of stuff.
Slaughtering the chickens and all that stuff in crossroads and all things like that.
In other words, when your aunt said to you that there are things that you can do to make sure that this man loves you, she was referring to that type of stuff.
Yes, small spells.
Okay. If you say small spells, in other words, your perception was that it would be fairly harmless to do these things. It wasn't like going and sitting in a pentagram and offering your soul to the devil or something.
No, nothing like that. It had to do with him not cheating on me or loving me or caring about me or anything like that. I felt unloved and unwanted. From the age of 11, I had to go and work, find a job, support myself. So it was a solution, one way of looking at it. When my godfather tried to rape me, he was the only one that was there, supported me. I ran away from home, stayed with him. Then things got even worse because then he started hitting even harder. And one day my aunt saw me because they all live in Greece. And she found my dad. That was when I was approximately 18. And my dad came down originally to actually kill my ex-fiance because of what he was doing. And when I saw him and he told me he was going to harm him and whatever, I told him that I hated him. I don't ever want to see him. What does he want? He must go away. So.
All right. In other words, just to get some clarity, when your father came to do something about the problem, you were so blinded that you actually chased your father away and you still sided with this man. Can I ask you a question? You've just made a statement that's quite profound. You said that you did what your aunt told you to do.
Mm.
In other words, you made use of, let's call it the occult,
yeah,
to try and stabilize your relationship. But then you said something interesting. You said after that he started hitting even harder.
Yes.
Can you see now when you look back that going to the devil, I know you didn't know at that stage that you were going to the devil, but can you see now that going to the devil didn't cause the problem to go away, it caused the problem to get like 100 times worse.
Yeah.
And then there was even less that you could do about it. And now she was so blinded that when somebody for the first time in his life came to help her, instead of siding with the person that God sent to help her, she actually chased him out of the house and she said, I want to stick to this. Oh, can you see the occult is extremely destructive? You mess with witchcraft, you mess with voodoo, you mess with Satanism, that type of stuff. The devil will always give you a lie that says, I'm going to help you through this. But when you've done it, you get stuck in the pit. And then when you try and get out, you actually can't get out because you convince yourself it's actually better to be young. And that's sort of where your life was at that stage.
Because according to me, he was the only thing that was caring and wanted me and just loved me or something.
So he was panel beating you every night, but in your mind, he loved you and he cared about you.
It was normal.
Oh, okay. The devil is a liar, isn't he? Yeah. All right. Continue.
So one day my dad just started praying outside and went for a walk and he wanted to know, why am I like this and how come I feel this way about them? What is wrong with me? And he prayed and he prayed, and a little bit longer later, God showed him a vision of things that my godmother used to do, because she used to ask him to drive her around, take her here, take her there, get her black chickens and all different things, and drop off on crossroads and come back at 1 a.m. or whatever the case is. So all that.
For those of you that aren't aware, a crossroads has a very strong significance in certain forms of magic. If you do the magic at the crossroads, it is perceived to be much more powerful than doing it in your lounge or whatever the case might be, because there is a belief that you can meet Satan at the crossroads. Okay.
So he came to the house and he tried to speak to my godparents and tell them, okay, look, this is the case. I'm taking my daughter. There's nothing you can do. And my godmother, to prove to him that there's no way he's going to take me, not without her letting him, she made me stand on the third floor on the rail and waited for her to tell me to jump.
Wow.
That's according to my dad.
Would I be wrong in saying that your foster mother or stepmother, or what do you call her? Your godmother, was an extremely controlling person?
She was. Look, I don't remember much of what happened. A lot of things are a blur, and my dad didn't want to tell me. That was the only part he would tell me, because he says the rest I wouldn't be able to handle. So he went and he saw some people somewhere, and he tried to take me there, and he got me there, and I don't know what they did. I don't remember. But I know we ended up with some drops, because my aunt always used to joke, come, you must drink your drops. You've got to take this 3 times a day. About 3 months passed, and it was the first time I ever told him I loved him. And I wanted to go home. So we came back to South Africa, and
Amen.
And they never stopped phoning, or they never stopped sending people over. I changed my number, I don't even know how many times at home. I acted that I was not at home. All her friends were coming over to tell me that she wants me back, and I must go back, and all different things. I started being fascinated with it, and I thought, okay, if it worked that time, why won't it work now when I'm having difficulties in my marriage? So I got books, I read spells, I did the whole 9 yards. And they didn't work. So I thought, oh, well, it's the biggest lot of crap I've ever seen. So, you know, let me just leave it alone. And I just left it alone and thought, okay, it's my war to fight. I'll fight it. God doesn't care. He's not there. He wouldn't do it to me. Why? So heaven and earth does not exist. And I left it as that. And time went by and by and by. And then I had the stroke. And I went to Diane and George. Okay? And they told us to come here. And we did. And the first night was very, very scary. So it was very weird. And nobody looked at you funny. And you felt loved and wanted. And it was not what I know. It doesn't exist. So we wanted to leave, and then I can't remember exactly who came and spoke to my son and spoke to us, and we sticked around. And then you prayed for my stroke, where doctors had given me no hope that I'll ever use my arm or my leg or I'll function properly. And things started getting better. I started walking better, being able to use my arm better. My feeling is almost 100% back. And my memory is coming slowly, but it's coming. So that's when I started believing there's a God. And everything that happened, happened for a reason. Because if I had to stay there, I would have never met him. So God bless, and things are getting better, and everything is fine, and I've got a loving husband, and my marriage is 100%. And doctors can't believe I'm actually functioning the way I am.
So according to the doctors, you shouldn't be able to move your arm.
I shouldn't be able to walk.
You shouldn't be able to walk. And when they found out that you are actually doing this stuff, they were quite astonished, am I correct?
Yeah, they said this shouldn't be happening. This is a miracle. They don't understand what happened, but they can declare it as a miracle because I'm functioning properly. And if you see me in the street, you won't even say I've had a stroke.
Can somebody give the Lord a big hand? Okay, let's up. As you can hear, she's been through a very tough life. I mean, let's be very honest. Some of you are sitting here and you thought to yourself, man, I've had it tough for most of my life. But it's amazing how hearing somebody else's testimony just immediately puts your own life into perspective. You know what? You might have thought to yourself you had a bad upbringing or a bad life, but compared to this girl, you were probably very, very blessed. Now, you heard that there was a time in her life where she didn't really believe in God. And because the occult had worked before, she went into the occult and she dabbled in the stuff and she tried a whole bunch of stuff. In her own words, it didn't help. It actually just made her life worse. When you were trying all of that stuff, were you happy at all?
No, not at all.
Did you have any peace in your life?
No. It was just desperation to try anything and find anything, to try and have some type of peace or some type of relationship with somebody that loves you.
Why do a lot of people get involved in the devil's things? Not because they want to dishonor God or they are trying to curse God, but because they are looking for help. And the devil comes and lies to them and he says to them, I will help you. But he's a liar. John 8 verse 44 says, Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. He abides not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And if you believe in a lie and you build your life on a lie, you must understand something. You have a very poor foundation, and every time storms come, your house will fall apart. Later, the one day you shared with me just a little bit about your background and about what your father said to you about what your aunt did, etc., etc. And that day I said to you, you know, Letza, we better pray about this stuff, because even though it happened probably 10 years, 15, 20 years ago, these things still have power over you. Let me explain to you something about her, what do you call it? Stepmother, right?
Godmother.
Godmother. Her godmother had a very controlling spirit. Now, the nature of witchcraft is to control. The reason why the woman is the way that she is because she messes with witchcraft all the time. Anybody that dabbles in witchcraft for long enough will develop a very controlling personality. They intimidate, they force, they control, etc., etc. And when they put stuff on you, it is for the purpose of giving them control in your life. Now, her godmother did a lot of stuff to her while she was still living with this woman. And how many years is it that you've not been involved with this woman at all?
20 years.
After 20 years, it was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago that we prayed here, eh?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago we prayed here. And the moment I addressed the demons that came into her life because of what her godmother had done, this little girl, I mean, take a look at her. What? She's tiny, man. Yeah, how many oaks had to help me pin her down? Just raise your hands. Yeah, take a look around. It was like five or six of us that had to pin this woman down. And all of these spirits of the occult and voodoo and whatever the case might be started coming out of her. Tell me something. If I had told you before that the stuff that happened in your life 20 years ago could still have power over your life, what would you have said to me?
I said, no, why? I've stopped it. I've left it. It's gone.
But you see, that's another lie of the devil. He tells you, it's okay when you leave it. It's over. It's finished. Listen, yeah, when you've called the devil into your life, he's there. And the Bible says, John 10:10, he's a thief. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How did you feel after all of that stuff gone, after that stuff left?
I'm peaceful. I feel safe. I'm not worried about my child being hurt. I know he's safe. I know nothing can harm him. Nothing can touch my family.
Can I say, if based on what you've just said, can I make a summation and say that you used to live in a lot of fear?
Yes. I was always worried, always stressed.
Now, here's another thing. One of the legs that witchcraft stands on is control. But the other leg is fear. Because Satan controls people through fear. Fear is a means to control. Now, Letza, I want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony with us. I know it was difficult for you. But I truly believe that through you today, the Lord spoke to quite a lot of people sitting here. And when we release the CD, the Lord is going to speak to even a lot more people out there.
Amen.
And you know what? Your life is a testimony that God is always in charge, even though sometimes we think He's not. And that even the things that work against us or seem to work against us, God can change them and cause them to work for us.
That I can vouch for. I'm a living proof.
Amen. Thank you. Give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Letza.